Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Lord, we thank you so much for Christmas, the coming of our Messiah, Jesus. As we come to your Word, I pray that you will speak to us. I pray that you will change us and transform us by the power of your word. And now, Lord, our hearts are open and our minds are ready to receive your word. This is for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Our theme in this Christmas season is a light has dawned. Our theme text is from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Isaiah said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah was prophesying to a people and to a nation that was living in deep darkness. Spiritually, they lost their way. They had turned their backs on God. They were disobedient, rejected the prophets and the law of God. They lost their way. It gave birth to political chaos. At the time that Isaiah writes, they're in exile, kicked out by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. At the time of the birth of Jesus, when he returns, they're still spiritually in the dark. They hadn't had a prophetic word from God in more than 400 years. They were living as slaves in their own land under Roman occupation. They were a people desperately in need of help. And they cried out. They knew the promise of a Messiah, one who would come. Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 2 describes him as a light that would dawn. That first breaking of light that speaks of a new beginning, a new season. God was about to do something new. God was about to do something good. God was about to bring in something fresh. It would come with the birth of the Messiah. Isaiah helps us understand that the Messiah he was writing about was no other than Jesus Christ. Wetoto Church, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Last week we took time to understand that he is the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of the world. They waited for hundreds of years on that promise for a Messiah to come. And friends, the Messiah came. Jesus was born. And at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus. It is a big deal for us. It is the coming and the dawning of hope. But when you look at the Christmas story, the circumstances that surrounded the birth of Jesus, the lady that would carry him as his mother, the people to whom the message of his birth first came, the town in which he was born, you begin to notice that at the birth of the Messiah, God did the unexpected. And so today I want to talk to you about the fact that a light has dawned that lifts the lowly. That is a very interesting word. Who are the lowly? The narrative of the birth of Jesus brings us into contact with this word. And really, the lowly refers to individuals or groups who are humble, poor, marginalized, who hold a low status in society. It describes those who may lack material wealth, social influence, or power, but often possess a spirit of humility and absolute total reliance on God. And today I want us to turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 1 to 20. And after that, we're going to focus on three key elements in the story of the birth of Jesus that help us appreciate this light that has dawned that lifts the lowly. Let's read together in our Bibles, Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 to 20. The Bible says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds say to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Wow. A light has dawned that lifts the lowly. Three elements of the Christmas story that I want us to look at that are going to help us appreciate this light that lifts the lowly. Let's start with the manger birth. We read it in verse 6 to 7. "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Isn't it interesting that when Joseph and Mary make their way to Bethlehem, that it is the time of the census, and there are so many guests in town that there's not room enough to find an inn where Joseph and Mary could stay and perhaps receive their son. Why does God have to make things difficult? That's a question a lot of people ask. And so they're in town. There's not enough room. They scamper around, and this gentleman has a stable. Now, this is where the animals were kept. And they received their son in that place. And now their son is lying in a manger, out of which the animals ate. Surely this is the Messiah. Surely this is the Son of God. Surely this is the creator of the world. Surely this is the light that has dawned, that we've been waiting for. The Jews had been waiting for Messiah. And their expectation when they read the scriptures, that the government would be on his shoulders. When they read words like this, they expected that their Messiah would be a strong man. That he would come in power and glory. That he would have so much authority. That he would crush their enemies and set up his kingdom among them. And that they would be free once again. And he would lead them into God's glorious future for them. That was their expectation. And so because of the darkness in which they found themselves, so far from God, they didn't realize that on that night, the Savior had actually been born. But it wasn't in a palace. Isn't it interesting that when the wise men came looking for the king, they went to the palace? Why would the Savior of the world be born in a stable? Why would he lie in a manger with some strips of cloth wrapped around him? God has a message in that for us, friends. This choice by God to send the Messiah to us, to be born in a stable, lying in a manger, reminds us that God's grace does not seek the hype of this world, but rather the simplicity and humility of heart. God is not about the hype. God does not need a red carpet to announce his arrival. God came simply. God came humbly. God came in such a lowly way. And this manger birth was simply to help us understand that God was identifying with us in the most basic form. Born as a baby. This is the story of the life of Jesus. Humble in his birth. Humble throughout his life. Even to the time he breathed his last. The Bible teaches us about the humility that Jesus exemplified in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 to 8. The Bible says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus did not empty himself of his divine nature. He was fully God. And yet he was fully man. What he did was he emptied himself of his divine privileges. He made himself nothing. And he took on our appearance as a man. Born by a woman. Came into this earth. This body of dirt. He clothed himself in it and came to us. The Bible says he did not consider equality with God as something to use to his advantage. Rather, he humbled himself. And the Bible says he humbled himself and he was obedient. Obedient even to death on a cross. Friends, God is saying something to us this Christmas. Don't believe the hype. Don't fall for the hype. And don't hype yourself up. Rather, live a humble life. If you open up your mouth and you say, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I am a follower, a disciple of Jesus, your life must be marked by humility. The Bible teaches in that section before verse 6 to 8 of Philippians 2 that we don't look out for our own concerns and interests, but rather for the interests of others. And Paul teaches and says, let this mind which was in Christ be in you too. My friends, it is so important that we humble ourselves before God. Why? Bible teaches us that God rejects the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself before God, it is because you've recognized your limitations. You come to a place where you say, Lord, I'm not good enough. I'm not gifted enough. I might have everything that I need. In fact, I have more than I need. I may be educated, I may be experienced, I may be connected, but none of that really matters. Lord, I am nothing. I am just like dust. I am just like dew. I'm here today, I'm gone tomorrow. I humble myself before you. When you humble yourself before God, watch out. You're going to experience the favor of God that will lift you up. You don't push yourself to the front of the line. You let others go at the front. You see, what God is looking for in us is to humble ourselves. Yes, circumstances in life can humble you. The challenges we go through can humble you. But it's not about the challenges and the problems. Even those who are wealthy in life must humble themselves before God. Friends, I want to encourage you. May our lives be marked by humility. Have you sometimes thought of yourself to be better than others? When you look at that girl who helps you at home in your house. When you look at that guy maybe who works at your company and cleans the toilets and mops the floors. Have you sometimes thought of yourself to be better than others because of the way you look? Have you been proud in your thoughts? Have you said something prideful this week? Did you dismiss somebody? The Bible says we humble ourselves before God. Why? Because our Master and our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior Jesus, was humble. May the mind and the attitude which was in Christ Jesus be in us as well, O total family. My prayer is that we will walk in humility and experience the favor of God. My prayer is that we'll walk in humility and experience the grace of God. Even when you know what is available to you, even when you know your strengths, even when you know your qualifications, even when you know your experiences, even when you know what you could do, you humble yourself before God and you say, Lord, have your way. And when God finds that attitude and that heart in us, we experience the unmeasurable grace of God. The Bible says about Jesus that because he humbled himself, he has been given a name that is above every other name. Bible says that the mention of his name, every knee must bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because God took on flesh and died for us, the Bible says whether you want it or not, there is coming a day where your knee shall bow and your tongue will confess that he is Lord. So do it on this side of heaven so that you may experience the grace of God. Every leader in this place, whether you're a parent, wherever you work, in your community, in your family, be humble. The Bible tells us about Jesus in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Watoto Church, wherever we go, may we be known as humble servants. Humble servants of God and humble servants of the people. And as we walk in humility, watch out. The favor of God is just about to be released over our lives in Jesus' name. That is the manger birth. But I also want us to pay attention to Mary. In a world that prizes status, connections, popularity, God's choice of Mary to carry the Messiah is absolutely astonishing. She was an ordinary humble girl, of no reputation, who came from a little town called Nazareth. What good can come from Nazareth, they said. She didn't have any high social standing. But God chose her. In verse 26 to 33 of Luke chapter 1, the angel came to Mary to announce to her what was about to happen. Bible says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Mary's surprised. Mary's startled that she would be God's choice. She's wondering, "Lord, why have you chosen to use me?" And sometimes it's how we feel in life. "Lord, why would you bless me? Why would you open that door for me? Lord, why would you do good for me? Do you know who I am? Do you know the things that I have done?" And we begin to disqualify ourselves. Maybe based on the place where we come from. That even when God has favored you and blessed you, sometimes you struggle with receiving the blessing because there are certain ideas in your mind where you think you don't qualify. You're not good enough. And sometimes when we come before the Lord, we carry such darkness in our hearts. Maybe people treated you like you didn't matter. And you've grown up always thinking and feeling like a second-class citizen. You were not wanted, you were rejected, you were abandoned, almost aborted. And maybe you've tried different things in life and you failed, and sometimes you see a cycle of failure and even stop believing that the favor of God can be poured out on your life. Or because of the things you've done, you've messed up your life, you've disobeyed God, you've been inconsistent before Him. And sometimes when you think about God pouring out His favor on you, you're like, "God wouldn't want nothing to do with somebody like me." But I love Mary's response. She expressed her doubtings to the Lord. "Lord, how is this going to happen?" The angel said to her, "Don't worry. The power of the Lord will overshadow you." I want you to know, friends, that God's power is available to help you overcome your limitations. The power of the Lord will overshadow you. Mary still didn't understand, because there's some things that God will want to do in our lives that we don't fully understand. And for some of us, we have delayed obedience because we are waiting to fully understand. Some of you are still exactly where you are, not because you couldn't go forward, it's just because you're still waiting on clarity. But although Mary was afraid and still didn't understand, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me just as you have said. Be it unto me according to your word. You know, the lowly in heart are those who choose obedience to God regardless of the cost. People who are willing to put aside their own reputation and say, God, do whatever you want with my life. Did you know that Mary, in saying yes, would have become the laughing stock of the town? You're engaged to be married. You're not yet even married and you're pregnant now. The religious system of the day would have stoned her to death. You know, sometimes we think that just saying yes to the will of God over our lives is going to make things easy. And we begin to pray, Lord, make me like Mary. Lord, make me like Mary. Lord, make me like Mary. Give me the anointing of Mary. Lord, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The road of obedience is marked with suffering. Mary said, I'm the Lord's servant. Basically, she's saying, Lord, do whatever you want. I am available to serve you. My prayer with total family is we'll have the same attitude that was in Mary. She was lowly and she obeyed. She chose faith even when she didn't fully understand. She chose obedience even though there was a high price to pay. She said, yes, Lord. My prayer with total family is that we will be those people who are lowly in heart and choose faith over fear. That we will choose obedience over sacrifice. That we'll say, Lord, do with my life whatever you want. You recognize that your life is not your own. That actually apart from the Lord, we are nothing. We are empty. We are purposeless. We are lost. We're in the darkness. But when we open up our lives to Him, He shines His light upon us. He lifts us out of the darkness of sin, brings us into His marvelous light. And from that point on, we do not live for ourselves, but rather we live for Him. We live for Him and we say, Lord, do what you want with my life. You look at your finances, you say, Lord, even these finances, they belong to you. My children belong to you. My marriage belongs to you. My giftings and abilities, they belong to you. My mind belongs to you. My body belongs to you. You submit yourself fully to God and say, do what you want with me. That is lowly in heart. And the Bible says when you have that kind of attitude, watch out. The light of God is going to dawn on you and He will begin to lift you up. When you see a man and woman that God has lifted up, there is a story of obedience. Mary ran to meet her cousin Elizabeth and she burst out in song in verse 46 to 48 of Luke chapter 1. She said, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. She was lowly in heart. She didn't fully understand. She didn't wait to understand. She chose faith over clarity. And she said, Lord, be it unto me. What other church, may that be our same attitude in Jesus' name. Because you know what, friends? Your value does not come from the letters after your name and the qualifications you have. It doesn't come from the amount of money in your bank account. Your value is derived from your Maker and what He's doing in your life. That is your true value and worth. Why? A life that is fully surrendered to Jesus is a life full of treasures that money cannot buy. Treasures of faith. Treasures of perseverance. Treasures of victories. Of hope. Of courage over clarity. Your life is full of so much more. Because he said, God, here I am. Use me. Do whatever you want. And it is those kind of people that experience the favor of God. Oh, God, teach us to live this way as the Watoto family so that 2024, the what is left of it in 2025 will be a year of the Lord's favor in Jesus' name. May we live this way. The beautiful thing about that story of Mary is that God's ways are far above our ways. You know, Isaiah 55 tells us, verse 8 to 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are what? Higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. The way God does things is different. He didn't go to a palace and he didn't find a superstar. He went to a manger and found a humble servant girl. I hope from today you will live your life saying, Lord, do whatever you want with my life. Could I just stop there to say that when God lifts someone up, you see, God did not promote Mary so that we can begin to pray through Mary for the forgiveness of our sins. God does not favor people so that we make them something into an idol. God blesses somebody so that you can have a principle to learn. So that you can say, God, just as you did it for Mary, teach me to live that way so that I can also walk in your favor. Finally, the shepherds. The shepherds. You see, the shepherds were not scholars. They were not priests. They were not kings, but they were simple, humble people. In fact, in the social class of the day, the shepherds were right at the bottom. They didn't have any wealth. They worked for the wealthy. They looked after sheep and sometimes ate with them. The angel appeared to them. Fast. Many times, by the way, these shepherds were uneducated. In that day, the opinion of the shepherds did not matter because they were not educated and everyone knew it. And yet, for those whose opinion did not matter, those are the people that God gave the message that would change the world. My goodness. The angel shows up and says to them in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And the shepherds went and they began to tell everybody everywhere. That's why we sing that Christmas song. Go tell it all the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it all the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because God found these humble people in the night in a field looking after sheep and gave them a message that would change the world. You know what God is teaching us this Christmas, Watoto family? Do not disregard anybody. Do not disregard the list of these. Those people working in our homes and helping us. Those people sweeping the streets and cleaning toilets. Those people that look crazy on the street and are mad and are just eating from trash cans. Don't despise them because they were made in the image of God and they have value, dignity, and worth. God is reminding us this Christmas that everyone matters to him. May God open our eyes to value and care for the poor and the least of these in our families and communities. James 1:27 reminds us religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Do you want a faith that pleases God? Treat the least of these with value, dignity, and worth. Yes, life may have treated you better than it did some others. Treat them with value. Sometimes we look at the list of these because maybe they're drinking alcohol or they're selling their body somewhere on the street as a prostitute to get some finances to put them through school or look after their children. They may look like the least of these, but they have value in God's eyes. He might be a drug addict that is struggling to get his life together. He has value in God's eyes. It might be a lady that aborted a child. She has value in God's eyes. She has never lost her value. Do not disregard the least of these. Friends, God is speaking to us this Christmas. And He's dealing with some things within us. Some of our own inadequacies. Some of our own fears and our own struggles. Some of our own challenges where we feel like we're not good enough. Like we don't qualify. Our background, and we are trying to hustle to just lift up our status so someday we may make something of our lives. And God is saying to you, stop it. I value you. I love you. I see you. I care about you. And this Christmas, He wants you to know that His light has dawned so that He will lift the lowly. May we be carriers of God's light that lift the lowly around us. Because when we live this way, it means we're going to empty ourselves of ourselves, make ourselves available to God. And when we do that, we will not be able to stop the grace and favor of God at work in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word this Christmas. You're reminding us that you're the light that has dawned to lift the lowly. Lord, we find ourselves in one of those phases, either because we came from a place of no reputation, we have nothing to our names, we have no wealth, no power, no privilege. And so we are lowly. We are treated like we're lowly. Sometimes we're lowly because of the things that we have done. Our own sin and disobedience has left us in the dirt. We've done things that are not right. And we carry shame and we carry guilt. We are lowly. Sometimes, Lord, we are lowly because of life. We've not been dealt a good hand in life. Wherever we find ourselves, you are the light that has dawned that lifts the lowly. Lift us up, O God. We humble ourselves before you because we know that you resist the proud and you give grace to the humble. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, I want to say to you, my brothers, my sisters, sin, disobedience to God, rebellion to God, is pride. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned against God. But the Bible also tells us that if we humble ourselves, if we repent of our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And the Bible tells us that we take it one step farther and not only ask for His mercy, but we surrender our lives to Him. The one who came and took on flesh and died for us. The Bible tells us, surrender your life to Him. His name is Jesus. He's the one who will forgive you. He's the one who will save you. Today, humble yourself before God. Recognize that you've sinned against Him and that you need a Savior. And the only Savior is Jesus. Today, make Jesus the Savior of your life. Today, do it. Do it. Do it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. You say, "Brand, that's me. I surrender my life to Jesus. I want to be saved." Lift up your hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Thank you. Jesus is that hand. Thank you. Would you lift up your hand and say, "Jesus, I've sinned against you, but I want to be saved." Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. Would you lift up your hand to Jesus? Just lift up your hand wherever you are. Keep lifting it up to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just lift it real high to Jesus. He loves you. He cares about you. Thank you. Jesus sees that hand over there. Thank you. Wherever you are, Jesus sees that hand. Thank you. Lift up your hand. You're joining us online. You say, "Jesus, save me. I humble myself before you. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I must be born again." Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand to Jesus. You're joining us online. Lift up an emoji of a hand right there in the comment section. Lift up an emoji of a hand and say, "I give my life to Jesus." Type it there right now. You're joining us on air. Lift up your hand. Surrender your life to Jesus. Jesus is in that room with you. He's in that room with you right now. Lift up your hand to Jesus. He loves you. Maybe you're saying today, "Jesus, I humble myself. I'm coming back to you." Maybe you're born again, but you'd walked back into your prideful way of sin. But you're saying, "Enough is enough with that life. I'm coming to Jesus. I recommit my life. I'm humbling myself before God." Come on, lift up your hand. You're recommitting your life to the Lord. Come back to Him. He'll never push you away. The Bible says He will never reject a humble heart. Thank you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Just lift up your hand wherever you are. Keep it lifted up to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Thank you, my sister. Would you lift up your hand? Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. Thank you. Right upstairs, Jesus sees those hands. Online, would you lift up your hand? You're recommitting your life. You're coming back to Jesus. Do it right now. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Type, "I recommit my life to Jesus." Do it right now. Walk away from sin. Sin is prideful. Sin says, "I don't want Jesus. I don't care about Jesus." But when you humble yourself, say, "I want Jesus. I want to surrender my life," He will receive you and He will forgive you. Thank you. Jesus is that hand, my brother. On air, would you recommit your life to Jesus right now? Right now. Do it right now. Right now. The Lord cares about you. This is the very last call. Is there anybody else that says, "Jesus, save me. Save me from my sin"? You've lifted up your hand. I want you now to pray this prayer after me and mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart, because you're making a personal commitment to Jesus. Church, let's all pray this prayer together as loud as we can to encourage our brothers and sisters that are making this commitment to Jesus. Come on, everybody, as loud as we can, saying, "Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name," and everybody says, "Amen."
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,